This is the beginning of the first tape with Ibram Lassaw in East Hampton. I'd like to start at the very beginning of your career, Ibram. Perhaps, you know, just how did you become involved with art and with sculpture? How did that happen?
I think I was... fate or life itself seemed to move me in that direction. I can think of kindergarten days when I enjoyed modeling in clay, and instead of letting it go at that, I continued all the way up to this present moment. I mean, in the field of sculpture, I didn't drop it in favor of other interests or pursuit. That remained my main it became my vocation.
When you say kindergarten, would that have been in this country, because you weren't born in America? You were born, I believe, in Egypt.
Right. Yes, I began modeling in clay in Alexandria when I was about 5 years old. But I remember at that time that this may sound ridiculous, but I won the only prize of my career when I was 5 years old. I'm not the prize-winning type. And of course, that it must have encouraged me a great deal, because that seemed to be the thing that I was praised for, and so on. It's subtle things like this that often determine the future career of children, I think.
What was the attitude at home to art? Was there any interest on the part of your parents?
Well, I felt that my parents respected the position of the artist in society. They, like, in common with Russian Jewish intellectuals, or not that they were great intellectuals. They read Dostoevsky, but I would call them intellectuals. They thought of art and artists as being something very fine and worthy of respect. They actually never knew much about art or showed any great interest in it. But they just knew that it was just like a doctor is a good thing to be, and, you know, that kind of thing.
In other words, there were books around the house, but not art books particularly.
That's right, no art books. But remember, back in the, say, the 20s, who had art books around the house? You know, that's something that were very few homes in the whole country that had art books. There were very few art books at that time.
That's true.
You know.
To jump for a minute, did they ever offer resistance to it?
Oh, yes. Yes. When my father began to see that I mean what I said when I said I wanted to be a sculptor, he realized that he... I think it was a threat to my future, and that he said to me that I would never make a living at this, and that, you know, that it's crazy. You know, the usual story. I'm sure thousands of other fathers say the exact same words to thousands of other boys, you know, and girls. You know, it's good as a hobby, but get something serious to, you know, like civil service or something, you know. I'm sure that's a tape. You could almost make a tape that would go through. It could be sent to any
every
number
father.
Of
family.
Yeah. And so that it even came to a point where I would sneak off to the Beaux-Arts. You know, I'd say, oh, I'm going to see a friend of mine or something. And then I'd go all the way to New York from Brooklyn to attend the, it'd go evenings to the Beaux-Arts Institute of Design, you know. In other words, it became almost a subversive or almost a criminal activity on my part to continue wanting to be a sculptor, you know.
When did you, or how did you get your first formal training in sculpture?
Well, the first more serious contact with sculpture occurred when I was about 12. I used to walk to the Brooklyn Children's Museum from the part of Brooklyn that I lived.
That would be around
2 or 3 miles.
24.